Good morning, Beeville. How you doing today? I love this service. I love it. It's my favorite service because I feel like it's just laid back and a little bit more relaxed. But I know someone in the first service, right before service started, said, PC, your hair's getting long. And I said, yeah, I'm trying to let it grow out. And it's kind of the in-between stage. But this morning before I left, I got to be honest with you. My wife looked at me. She said, I just don't like your hair. I was like, what are you talking about? She said, it looks like you have a football helmet on. Like, thanks, babe. I like my football helmet, you know. But anyway, we're starting a new message series today entitled, Dreams Don't Work Unless You Do. Now, I'd love to say I came up with that title, but actually John Maxwell did, all right? But dreams don't work unless you do. Look to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you today, all right? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to be in church today. It's a great day. It's beautiful. And Lord, we celebrated you. We worshiped and honored you. We celebrated the crucifixion of Jesus by taking communion. And Lord, as we continue, let your word change us because your word is life. You are your word. So Lord, as I hear your word today, I thank you, Lord, I'm going to be filled up with Jesus today and I'm going to be changed. Help us understand what it means about hard work and allowing you to work through us to see our dreams accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Come give me a good amen right there. Amen. Yeah. Now, this really is a principle of hard work. It's on the principle of working hard. And I grew up in a family where my dad really emphasized the value of work, completing a job. And we lived in a one-street neighborhood, and we had several acres, and on each side of us, there wasn't any homes built just yet. We knew the owner of the property, so he let us have those. So growing up, I always cut 5 to 6 acres of grass, and we always had a lawnmower that wasn't big enough to cut 5 to 6 acres, and it took all day long. Usually it took 2 or 3 days to cut the yard, and then by the time you got finished, you had to cut it again because South Louisiana, it rains and it's hot all the time, which is a recipe of grass growing fast. So my dad would come in on Saturday morning, and he would say this. He turned on my light, and he's like, all right, you're burning daylight. It's to the point today, to the point. And I knew what he meant because our property kind of went to a point like this, and I knew what he meant. It's going to be cutting grass from sun up till sundown, and we don't stop till we get the job done. And looking back, I despise my dad for doing that, but I really appreciate him now because I believe we are experiencing the hand of God in our life and the Hennigan family here at Key Point Church because of some hard work. Everybody say hard work. Come on, say hard work. This morning I was praying, and I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me about setting up this message series, which we're going to go through the whole month. And he spoke to me and said that there were going to be people at church today that, for whatever reason, maybe discouragement, maybe fear, maybe anxiety, maybe just the sheer desire to quit, they have stopped on a dream. They've taken that dream, and the way I visually saw it, I saw an old jar, a ball jar, like the kind that you use to can vegetables and stuff. And they've taken this dream, and they've put it in this jar, and they've sealed it up, and they've tucked it way in the back of their spiritual closet. And they've hid it back there, and they've stopped on this dream, and they've put it way back there. And I want you to speak to them specifically today because they're living an unfulfilled life. They maybe have a dream for a godly marriage, but what they're experiencing in their marriage is not lining up to the Polaroid that's in their mind about a godly marriage. Or maybe they are desiring a family that they didn't have growing up, and they're not experiencing that, so they've given up on that dream of a godly family. Maybe it's to start your own business, and out of fear, you're afraid to leave one to go to the next. Because you know there's going to be a lot of days where maybe you don't have work or a paycheck. Or maybe it's to write a book. Maybe it's to be in full-time ministry. And I believe God is calling people here at Key Point Church into full-time ministry. And some of you have taken that dream, maybe you had it at a young age, and you put it in a jar and you've hid it way back in the dark corners of your spiritual closet. And here's something about that. If you have a dream that's way back in the back of your closet, then that's all it's going to be is a dream. And nothing more is frustrating than having a dream that's just that, a dream. I don't know about you, but that frustrates me. It discourages me, and it makes me want to quit. So here's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to work with you. And really what I think he wants us to do is take that dream out and give it to him so that he can have something to work with. I need to hear amen right there. And that's what we're going to start doing today. We're going to get our dreams out. We're going to start believing again. We're going to start dreaming again, even if it takes a lot of hard work. And no one understood the principle of hard work better than Jesus. No one. Boy, did he work hard. Yeah, there were a lot of miracles that he performed. There was a lot of divine moments in the 3 years of ministry that Jesus had, but he worked hard. He understood that fulfilling a dream was going to stretch him. He understood that fulfilling a dream was going to tax him and overload him. And he understood it was going to make him cry. And we're going to read about that in a moment. He understood that it was going to make him want to quit. And from the onset of his ministry, here is Jesus, all God, all Holy Spirit, in the form of a man. He was bombarded with issues. Situations that were hard. Matthew chapter 3, he gets water baptized because he wants to show everybody how important it is to go public. He comes out of the water and the Lord speaks from heaven and says, "This is my son." Read it at the end of Matthew chapter 3. "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus hadn't done one thing yet, but yet his father was affirming him, and nothing will make you want to quit if you don't get the right affirmation. And he affirms his son, "This is my son, whom I'm well pleased." Still wet behind the ears in ministry. And then the beginning of Matthew chapter 4, it says, "And Jesus was led by the Spirit." Oh, I pray that we all learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. "And he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." And the Bible says he was tempted by the enemy. He goes into the wilderness for a 40-day fast. Come on, somebody say hard, all right? That's hard. If you've ever been on a fast, we're talking no water, no food, just water, 40 days in the wilderness. The longest I've ever been on a fast was 17 days. My wife came to me. She said, we're tired of you fasting. God has heard your prayer. We're going to have breakthrough. You eating a bologna sandwich today, all right, Jack? It's over. I mean, and I looked like I was about to blow down. I was so skinny. But he went on a 40-day fast in a wilderness. I did 17 days with all the Smoothie King drinks I could handle. And it was hard. And he comes out of a 40-day fast, and you think he's going to be walking on clouds, and the heaven is just going to part, and he's going to do his dream. The enemy instantly tempts him. I find that interesting. Oftentimes we think if it's a God dream, then the enemy should be back to side, right? But it's exactly the opposite. If the enemy's not attacking you, then you may need to be questioning, am I doing God's dream or will in my life? Come on, that's good preaching right there, all right? That's some good truth. He was ridiculed harshly. He was criticized at every turn. He was doubted and questioned on every front, every issue. He experienced tremendous pain. Jesus experienced tremendous heartache. He was rejected and abandoned by his closest followers. The people that he trusted turned their very back on him. And we ultimately find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where we pick up our text today, Matthew chapter 26. In verse 36, scripture says, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray close by.' He took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and troubled." So in front of these three men, here is Jesus, God himself, in the form of a man showing his humanity. I love how real this is. He wasn't acting as if he had it all together, but in his humanity, he was sad. And the Greek says he was exceedingly troubled with anguish. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death." Talk about hard. "Wait here and keep watch with me." I love that. Wait here and keep watch with me. Wait here and keep watch with me. In other words, Jesus was saying, I cannot fulfill my dreams unless you help me fulfill them. So you better get you some good people around you that are going to help you fulfill the God dreams in your life. Wait here and watch with me. Watch with me. And he went a little further in verse 39. And falling on his face, he prayed. When life gets hard, that is the best posture to take. Fall on your face and begin to cry out to God. Here's Jesus showing us this way. He prays, oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, if you can think of any other way, I would love not to have to suffer the cross, because he's moments away from being crucified on the cross. If it's possible, anguish, sorrowful, if it's possible, please take this cup from me. And then he follows up with, but not my will, but your. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. I'm going to fulfill my dream, even if it means suffering the cross. Wow. Then he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Oh, wow. Way to go, Peter. So could you not keep watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And I love the words of Jesus here. And this is for us as well. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Is it going to be hard? You better believe it. But is the spirit willing today to help us fulfill the dreams that God has for us? Yes, indeed. Amen. It is willing. It is willing. And he went away a second time and prayed, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. Your will be done. Oh, I love that. Your will be done. Regardless of how hard it will be done. I know I'll find strength in it. Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and he prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, sleep on now. Go ahead and take your rest. Look, the hour is near. Here it is. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Listen to the words of Jesus in verse 46. He says, rise, let us be going. Rise, let us be going. And in the words of your pastor, which is the title of this message today, it's go time. It's go time. Jesus was saying, hey, it's time for me to fulfill this dream. The reason why I came to this earth was ultimately to suffer the cross. Rise up, boys. Get out of your rest. Let's go. It's go time. It's go time. Now, for years, I bought into this false notion that if it was a God dream, then it would come easy. I don't know what I was thinking. That is not the case. If it's the God's dream, man, all hell's going to break loose to try to stop me from fulfilling that dream. And I thought that, oh, it's God. Oh, I heard God. He spoke to me, and I tell, oh, God's going to do this. God's going to do this. And I'm just going to sit back and wait. I'm just going to patiently wait. No, the Bible says it's the violent that take it by force. He even told the disciples, right as he was exiting earth, he said, go into all the earth. Go into all the earth. There's no such thing as sitting back. He said, go. He said, go. In other words, it's go time. And I bought into this lie that it would be easy or God would just bring it to me. When I was on staff at Bethany, it's where I grew up spiritually. My family transitioned into Bethany in 1985. I went full-time staff there when I was 24 years old in 1994. And I worked from 1994 till 2000. At Bethany, the church was thousands of people. One of the auditoriums set 6,000 people, and we'd fill it up 3 times on a Sunday. Just incredible church, all right? And there were several moments where Pastor Larry, my senior pastor, would take me different places with him and let me go behind closed doors with him in meetings. I'm a little 25, 26-year-old learning all this stuff. He's mentoring me. And every Thursday morning for 7 years, Pastor Larry would go to the governor's mansion in Baton Rouge and teach Governor Foster, who was a multimillionaire, and all his executive staff. And I would go with Pastor Larry, and I would sit there. And man, here I am, look, 26-year-old, 27-year-old. I'm like, wow, this is amazing, you know. And Pastor Larry would take me different places with him. And the objective on staff at Bethany was always to have your 12. So who was your 12? That, you know, it was the buzzword. Who's your 12? In other words, who are the 12 people in your life that you're mentoring, that you're taking care of? Jesus had 12, then so should we. So that was kind of the principle that we used to pastor people and lead people. And we were at a red light, and it seemed like this red light was 8 minutes long. It just took forever, you know, and it was kind of quiet. And he leaned over and looked at me. Only how Brother Larry can do it in his southern charm. He said, Brother Casey, because that's what you call brother and sister. Brother Casey, tell me about your 12. Won't you tell me the 12 names of the 12 men that you're mentoring now? And I'm like, man, this light has got to turn green now, you know, because this is right. I had just transitioned out of one part of the church ministry into another, and I hadn't built up my 12 yet, and I had like four. That was it. And man, my heart started beating fast because I'm about to tell the Pope, Larry, I don't have 12 yet. That's not what you want to tell the number one leader. I mean, it's his name on the bottom of the check. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh man, Pastor Larry. And I gave him all these excuses and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, Brother Casey, how many 12 you got? I mean, he's looking down me, you know, down his nose. And I'm like, Pastor Larry, all I have is four. Got real quiet in the car. And this is exactly what he said. From one South Louisiana boy to another, he said, Brother Casey, it's time you get this car in gear and let me see some mud fly. Is that biblical? Absolutely not. But it's very applicable, and you get what I'm saying. It's time to show me some mud. In other words, he was saying, nope, don't just stand on the stage in all your glory and expect all these guys to come to you and say, hey, mentor me, mentor. No, no, you get out there, you beat the bushes, it's go time. It's time for you to rise up and be gone, my brother. I heard what he said. I'm like, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Man, that day I was worried. I got 12 guys. I don't know who they were, but I had 12, you know. Pastor Larry, I got 12, you know. Do they come to our church? No, but that doesn't matter. I got 12, you know. And I think it's time that we get it in gear as a church, as Christ followers. It's time that we get it in gear and we sling some mud, somebody. Yes. We start slinging some mud. Now, I'm not saying that we should manipulate people and run over people so that I can get my dreams fulfilled. That's narcissism, all right? That's nowhere near the Bible. But there's a godly way to do that. And without hard work, your dreams won't work. It's that simple. Sometimes I wish the Holy Spirit was like my personal butler, and he'd come up to me, Sir Hennigan, with his little silver tray, here's your dreams, and just hand them to me. And I'm like, thank you, butler. I'd love for that just to happen. Here's your dream, supersized with a Diet Coke. Can I help you with anything else, all right? Look, hey, that's my dream. I want a butler one day with an English accent, all right? You have your own dreams, I'll have mine, all right? I don't know if that's going to happen, but I like to think it may be one day. But anyway, that's not how it happens. 1 Thessalonians 3:10 confirms the principle of hard work. It says, the one who is unwilling to work, will not eat, shall not eat. I don't know about you, but I get hungry like every 3 hours. I want to make sure I can eat, all right? I want to work. When God placed the dream to plant Key Point Church in Stacy and I's heart, man, I remember thinking, we're ready. At least we think we are. We were young. We knew it was going to take a lot of faith. Our faith was there. Our heart was there. We knew it was going to take a lot of risk. We sold everything we had, every penny we had, we pushed it to the center of the table like we were playing high-stakes poker at a casino in Las Vegas. I said, God, it's got to work, or I'm going back to school. We knew it was going to take a lot of risk. We knew it was going to take a lot of craziness, and I got all that. I can manage, all right? And here it is. I knew it was going to take a lot of hard work. Wasn't easy. I knew it. I was ready. I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to us because we had several months to kind of travel and choose where we wanted to live for the rest of our lives. And he said, it's go time. It's go time. We chose Northwest Arkansas. Really, Northwest Arkansas chose us. I'd come up here sometimes by myself and drive up 540, go through the tunnel and just see Fayetteville. And I would stay with Brian and Michelle Anderson. who committed to our church before we even had our first church service. God blessed them. I convinced them. That's funny, all right? You're supposed to laugh right there, all right? And I would stay with Brian and Michelle in their Lindsay apartment on 8th Street because he was getting his master's degree at the U of A. And we would stay up all night. Michelle would go to sleep about 8 o'clock every night, so she was in bed, you know, and me and Brian would just talk all night. Well, actually, he would talk, and I would just listen, all right? If y'all know Brian, all right? And we'd talk and dream about what church could be like. And then Stacy and I would start coming up here. Before we bought a home and moved here, we would get off at every exit, and we would go and eat at the local cafeteria and go through the neighborhoods and go look at the elementary schools where our kids were going to be going to school, and we'd get back on the bypass and go to the next exit and do the exact same thing. Every exit from Bella Vista all the way down to the tunnel, we rode around where we're going to live, where we're going to raise our family. God, where do you want us? Of course, we settled in Lowell, Arkansas. I'm like, Lowell? What? Really, it was the only home that we could afford at the time. RVS took a risk on me. They gave me a loan. I did have enough money to put down on a down payment. Moved into this house, began to talk to people and build a team. Really, it was a motley crew of men and women asking people to get on board, helping us with our service, helping us with childcare, you know, sound and all that stuff. We built just about everything we had because we had to set up and tear down. So everything, I wanted to save the money. I didn't want to spend it. So we built stuff. We built stages and signs. It looked like a Cajun fabricating yard in my front yard. I'm sure my neighbors were like, what is he doing? I'm crazy. I'm starting church. Just come on. You're going to love it, all right? I had to assemble a worship team. Check this out. I'm a worship leader. My pastor's worship. I'm a musician. I love good music. And we have great music here. And what you see up here, I'm going to tell you, that's a lot of hard work what they do. You should be grateful for this worship team. Man, they do outstanding. So I, like, what do? I don't know anybody here. Brian and Michelle, neither one of them play music. So who could I go? So I went to the local music stores that sell instruments, and usually those who are selling instruments are the musicians. So I started walking in there, hanging out. Hey, what's up? What's your name? Oh, you play? Yeah, I play. Hey, I'm a pastor. I'm starting a church. You want to come play? No. Please? And I put me together a band, and it was through these musicians that I met at local music stores. And we had two requirements. You couldn't be a felon, and you couldn't have done drugs within the last 6 months, all right? I kid you not. I promise you, you know? And then I needed a sound man, and I found this old boy named Ernie, and I heard Ernie was the best sound man around, and I found out where Ernie was running sound one night, George's Majestic Lounge. Come on, somebody, on Dixon Street. Now, don't clap like you want to be there right now, all right? So I went to George's Majestic Lounge. I walked up to him. He's in there running sound. There's this huge band playing, hundreds of people in there. I'm like, hey, Ernie, here's my number. I'm planting a church. I need a sound guy. Won't you come run sound for me at a school with a portable sound system? He's like, no. And then I busted out a couple of Benjamins, and he changed his mind. Okay, I'll do it. There were some Sunday mornings, I guarantee you, Ernie showed up straight from George's Majestic Lounge because he smelled like it. Like, dude, couldn't you just change your shirt? And I know that's funny, but that was hard. And that's how we had to start our church. But God blessed it. The first service, we had over 300 people. Raise your hand if you were in our first Key Point Church service. Anybody in here? Anybody? Matthew? Yes. Yeah, all right. Anybody else? All right. Anybody go to school, go to the school Tucker and be involved in the church there? Anybody? Long live Elsa Tucker. Love that man. Bless his soul. Tucker Elementary. We met there for 3 years. I remember going home after the first service thinking, what on earth did I just do? And Stacy had to remind me, dude, you just started a church. 300 people showed up, and they're calling you their pastor. We just did this. It took us 6 months to have this first service. Now you have 7 days to do the next one. Good luck. I'm like, God, this is hard. I'm not a youth pastor anymore, just blowing up cars and making kids like me. Man, I'm getting all the bad emails how our church stinks. I'm like, man, we just had one service. God, this is hard. We hired our first person I hired before we even had our first church service, was a bookkeeper. Because I knew that, you know, one of the big things pastors get in trouble over are their finances. Most pastors do not know how to handle their finances. But I used to run businesses, and my father taught me a good business acumen. So I went to an accounting firm, and I hired a bookkeeper. Every Tuesday night, this bookkeeper would come to our house and would sit in, it used to be a dining room, but I put up French doors so we could close off the craziness on the inside of the Hennigan house so he could have his little private time and do our books. One night, I forgot he was there, and I come walking out with my towel on. Hey, you know, Stacy's like, the bookkeeper's here. Get back in there and put some clothes on. This is my house. If you've ever ran a business out of your house, you know what I'm talking about. It's hard. It's just hard. It's hard. We were portable for 3 years. Had to set up and tear down every Sunday morning in the rain, in the heat, in the snow. One time, the sound guys, I walked in, and they had hair dryers, and they were blowing the soundboard. I'm like, what are y'all doing? And, oh, it's frozen. We got it, man. We got it. I'm like, yeah, I hope so. That's hard. It's hard. We moved from there to, listen to this, this is hard to even say it, to an office complex behind the post office in Bentonville. 15,000 square feet. Raise your hand if you were in that building. Man, that thing was a cave. But you know what? We grew a church. Lives were changed. We bought this property, $6 to $7 million project that we're currently sitting in right here that God blessed us with. Was it hard? Absolutely. We need to add on now, lobby space and childcare. Stop having kids. Y'all are crazy. Y'all know how to stop that, right? Snip, snip. All right, come on now. Some guy just went, oof. See, I didn't say that in the first and second service. Y'all get a little bonus in this one, all right? Just hard. Just hard. We launched our Springdale location. God's blessing that. We remodeled a furniture store. And I would drive back and forth for years. I still drive back and forth. It's hard. But it's paying off. We bought property in Fayetteville. You want to talk about hard. You take all the hard work that we did to build this church and plant our Bentonville campus and build this building and do a Springdale campus, and you package all that together, it was nothing compared to how hard it was to buy property in Fayetteville. That's why I know we need to be there, because there needs to be a light down there in Jesus' name. And we're going to have an influence there. We're working hard right now on developing a piece of property right off the square in downtown Rogers. We're close to having it. It's going to be an amazing opportunity for us to show people God's love and to reach more people. Amen? Yeah. See, it's hard, but here's what hard work will do. Hard work self-starts. It doesn't wait for a butler with an English accent and a silver platter to hand your dreams to you. I'm a self-starter. I am motivated. Hard work opens doors. That's what hard work does. Let me tell you how I find out where God is going. I'm not the sharpest knife in the box. I don't hear God's voice audible all the time. I do, okay? God speaks to his people. But here's how I found the will of God. I see doors, all right? And I'm like, all right, God, you put something in my heart. I want that. And we desire that. I pray about it. And I go and I push my hand on the door. If the door keeps opening, guess what I do? I keep stepping through it. Sometimes there's a little pressure, there's some resistance, and I, all right, God, what's going on here? All right, let me double back. We heard God's voice. All right, I'm going to press through. And then sometimes he just shuts the door in my face, which I'm okay with, because I know, hey, that's not the door we're supposed to go through. And if God shuts one door, he'll always bring you to another door, amen? That's just how it is. And I, so hard work presents open doors for you. He's not going to be on the other side opening the door saying, come on, step through. Maybe 1% of the time it's like that, but most of the time it's going to take some hard work. And hard work never feels entitled. I don't deserve anything. We work to get it. We don't deserve anything. Nothing's been handed to us. It's hard work. Hard work puts you a step ahead. You know, everyone has some form of a talent, but not everyone works hard. I grew up as the kid with not the most talent, but I tell you what I had was some work ethic. Told you about my father teaching me that, and I'm so glad I had it. Because if I had not, learned how to work hard, I promise you I would have quit on my dreams. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been tempted on many occasions, Stacy and I, to say, you know what? We're done. I've been tempted to coast. Not necessarily leave the ministry, but just say, you know, we're good enough. We're good enough portable. Or we're good enough in the little dingy building behind the post office. And we're just good enough. We don't need a second campus. We don't need a third campus. And I've got to be honest with you, I've been tempted to coast. The older I get, it seems like it's just you're good enough where you are. And then I hear the stories, the horror stories of marriages ending in brutal divorces and young people growing up without knowing who their heavenly father is. And I use that to fuel me to continue fulfilling the dream that God has put in my heart for people, not Casey, not a fulfillment of Casey and Stacy vision, but this is a God vision. I had a family several weeks ago. They told me, thank you for not quitting on God. It's because of that, we are the family that we dreamed about. Thank you. Are we perfect? No, but we are not where we used to be. See, coasting is dangerous. And some of you are just coasting with God. Coasting with your dreams, coasting, I'll get involved later, I'll serve later, just coasting. It's dangerous, it's costly, and it's not God's plan. It's not. It will lead to idleness, and idleness leads to sin. And boy, we don't want to deal with that. I have enough issues on my own, much less me creating them because of my idleness. Let me say something about burnout before I close. I know some of you are thinking, well, what about burnout? And it's real. It is. It's real. I've been there. I never thought that I would get to a place, and it was hard for me to admit it. I think I might be borderline burnout. I was even afraid to even admit it. Oh, no, you just fake it. You push through, boy. That's how I was taught. You don't see that in the Bible, though. Bible says you come to the Lord and you present your requests. You lay down your burden. Confess. And then watch the Lord heal you. And I told Stacy, you know what? I think I might be burnt out. 2017 was probably the hardest ministry year Stacy and I has ever faced. Some of the most bizarre things that's ever happened. Had a trustee's son commit suicide. Family in Springdale, amazing family. Had another family who attends this campus. He was in New York on a business trip. His wife was hit and killed in a car wreck. Instantly, I had to pick him up from the airport and go and bring him to see his wife. Some things, and you're like, oh, this is not the dream. This is not what's expected. And we realized that burnout has nothing to do with hard work or how many hours you work. I'm not afraid to go to bed tired, but I think burnout has to do with disappointment and unmet expectations and being discouraged and not being creative. So if you are burnout, let me encourage you to get professional counseling. Take us up on that. Stop faking it because you'll never make it. And be real. In a moment, we're going to have an altar call. Come out and get prayed for today. Respond. It's go time. Get refueled. Let God... Let His Spirit indwell you because the Spirit is willing. Yeah, my flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. Let His Spirit fill you up today. Because I believe some of you in here are waiting, you're waiting on God to restore your marriage and restore your relationships when in fact He is waiting on you to step up and do something about it, to give Him something to work with. Some of you are waiting on God to fulfill the dreams in your life when in fact the Holy Spirit is saying, get that dream out the jar, take it out and give it to me so that I can work with something. He can't work with something that He doesn't have. Some of you are waiting on a breakthrough. You're waiting on a miracle. You're waiting on God to do something on your behalf. And because it's not there yet, there's unmet expectation. There's discouragement. There's anxiety. Today's the day. He is waiting for you to say, it's go time. I'm getting it. I'm getting it today. I may not sense it or feel it today, but it's starting today. November 3rd, 2019. It's go time. It's go time. It's go time. You know, you as a Christ follower, you have more authority and power than you could ever imagine. God gave you a will. It's the most powerful thing known to man and woman. Today, we're going to rise up in Jesus' name. Some of you are going to give your heart to Christ for the first time and say, I will be a Christian. And some of you today are going to go into the dark places of that spiritual closet. You're going to pull out that dream. And maybe it was crashed and burned years ago. And you're going to put it before God and say, God, here it is. I need you to help me with it. And he's going to take it. And he's going to begin to blow the Holy Spirit through it in Jesus' name. Will you bow your heads with me this morning as we close? No one moving. I know our worship team's going to come up here. But this is a holy moment between you and God. And I believe the Holy Spirit is just asking you to give him something to work with. Just give me something to work with. Give me something to work with. I don't care how minimal it is. Just give it to me. Put it in my hands because I'm a miracle working God. Put your dreams in my hands. Today, maybe you need to get saved. Maybe that's what you need in your heart, salvation. Every head bowed and every eye closed. See here at Key Point Church, we give opportunities to respond. Jesus invited people to a new life. He invited people to miracles. He invited people, but they had to take the first step. They had to operate in faith. We're going to do that right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to say a simple prayer of repentance, a prayer of salvation. And I want everyone in this room to repeat this after me. Say, Jesus Christ. Come on, say, Jesus Christ, I ask you to forgive me. I repent of my sins, and I thank you for changing my life. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name we pray.